This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
May 10th. Thank God for the rain, which has helped wash away the garbage and the trash off the sidewalks. I'm working long hours now, 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. It's a long hustle, but it keeps me real busy. I can take in $350 a week, sometimes even more when I do it off the meter.
Let's face it, when you hail a cab, you never know what you're in store for, and there's nothing like a scene from Taxi Driver to remind you of that. Let me tell you about one of my recent taxi nightmares. I was in a strange city, and I needed to take a taxi out into one of the neighborhoods. Well, I get in the cab, and it turns out the driver doesn't speak more than 5 words of English. So I write down the address for him, and he reassures me with a combination of body language and his 5 words that he knows how to get there. Turns out he was faking it. The only reason we're still not driving around lost is that I grabbed his map and directed him. Nowadays in big cities, lots of the cabbies don't speak much English and don't yet know their way around. So I was pretty interested when I found the new memoir, Taxi from Hell, written by a Russian emigre who started driving a cab in New York before he could speak much English, before he knew his way around, in fact, before he could even drive. Well, it was pretty interesting to read about this nightmare from his perspective, so we invited him to Fresh Air. His name is Vladimir Lobis. Most of his book was first published in the Soviet literary magazine Novy Mir. Lobis was a filmmaker in Russia. When he came to New York, he did a weekly program for Radio Liberty. After driving a cab for several years, he now owns a mini fleet of 8 cabs. First, I wanted some advice. Should I have tipped this cabbie who got lost, made me late, and drove me crazy?
Well, no, I would say not. You are not supposed to tip him. You were suffering, you got into trouble. You don't pay tips for your trouble. Well, I feel sorry for you, but this is a common thing. What can I say?
Now, you were on the other end of that. I mean, it was a bad experience for me, but you were often in the position in the early days when you started driving of being the taxi driver who didn't speak a word of English or spoke just a little bit of English, who didn't know your way around the city. So what was it like for you to have to take people to places that they didn't know how to get to and you didn't either?
Well, what can I say? It was a nightmare. It was awful. You feel awful. You understand that you are taking a person who is in a rush to nowhere. Well, what else I can say? Usually, finally, always actually, I found the way the person needs. But I had a few similar cases like you just told me, and nobody feels good about it. This is hard. This is awful. You feel like you are annihilated driving a person just around and around and not know where exactly you have to take him or her. Well, it's drama. What can I say?
Sure is, right. Now, how would you find out how to get to a place when you didn't know how to get there?
Well, I usually asked drivers, I asked people at the gas stations. Sometimes they gave me proper directions, sometimes they gave me wrong directions. But in all these situations, I the only thing I can say, I can compliment the public. People in the back seat were understandable. I was wasting their time, their money, and they still were understandable. And what can I say after all these years? Thank you very much for being so nice to me, to thousands of other cab drivers, immigrants. Thank you, Americans. That's all what I can say.
I'm sure everybody wasn't so nice.
Well, you know, I didn't have any exceptions. I never got a person who didn't understand me. People were not nice. My passengers were not nice when I got worse, when I started to behave, to be angry, upset. But if a person in the back seat sees that the cab driver just doing his best, and he can't do it because he doesn't know anything. They're never angry. They're always understandable. They're always trying to help. And this is wonderful. That's what I can say about this.
You know, there really are a lot of Soviet emigre taxi drivers in New York. And in fact, it always seems to me that in Manhattan, most of the taxi drivers are people who've recently arrived from other countries. What is the popularity of that particular profession to people who are recently arrived to the United States? Can you help explain?
Yeah, sure. You see, 90%, I would say, or at least 80% of New York taxi drivers are immigrants, not only from Russia, from Poland, from Israel, from Haiti, from all over the world. Usually, well, I don't know, usually or in 50%, it's hard to count percentage here. A lot of them are representatives of intelligentsia, like lawyers, like engineers, writers. In my team, I'm an owner of a few cabs now. In my team, among 8 yellow cab drivers, I have a script writer from Hong Kong, an engineer from India, a lawyer from Cairo, a mathematician from Alexandria, Egypt. It's the half of them. Are highly educated.
We should say here that you were a cinematographer when you were in the Soviet Union.
Yeah, I used to be a cinematographer, a movie maker. Yeah, I was a script writer, a director. So it was the same fate. Life makes you to puts you behind the wheel of a yellow cab because these people from all over the world can't make a living in New York. Even I in New York, I was working for Radio Liberty Committee. I had 2 every week show, one in Russian language, one in Ukrainian language. I still was paid $190 per week, and I had a family to support. Plus to this, I ran into my dental problem, and I just tried to make a buck driving a cab, and it became my profession for a good 8 years.
What were some of the worst mistakes you made in your cab early on?
Well, worst, you mean the most dangerous or the most funny?
Well, why don't you give us one funny and one dangerous?
All right. Well, one funny was when I picked up, the funniest was when I picked up in Greenwich Village a father of 2 little girls. And he asked me to drive him to Kennedy, and it was my first trip to Kennedy.
This is Kennedy Airport.
Kennedy Airport, yeah. And I was so excited that at last I got this $20 job. So I took cases, I took 2 girls, I forgot to take father, and started to go.
You pulled off without him?
Yes, and what was horrible in this case, that when girls told me, our daddy isn't here, our daddy isn't here, and I turned around and I looked that he is not in a cab, and I realized that I don't remember where I picked him up. It's village, it's a maze, it's... And the girls told me the directions. One was 4 years old, another was probably 3 years old.
Oh, okay.
And they told me to turn right to Burger King and then to make a left, and then we saw Daddy. That was very funny, and that was horrible at the same time. And again, I must say a big compliment to public, to this wonderful man who didn't curse me out.
I think you're lucky you're alive, actually.
Yes, yes. I just, when I saw him, I thought, my God, what this man came through when some suspicious-looking guy, not passing himself as a taxi driver and not knowing the way to the airport, took his kids and disappeared and left him on the street. And he didn't curse me out, as I said. He didn't take away the job. He just got into the cab and said something like, you must be more careful. Well, I apologize like hell. What can I say? I was more scared probably than him.
What's something dangerous that happened to you?
Something dangerous. It was an awful, really awful story. It was on a Park Avenue. My cab had partition. And I was driving a woman with a small boy who didn't want to sit on mom's lap or on a seat. He wanted to stay, and he put his hands on a place where partition moves. Partition was open at the same time.
Is that like bulletproof shield between the passenger and the cabin?
Yes, yes. And then it happens that we started to argue with this woman. She thought that I was driving very carefully, since I understand that the boy is staying in a Checker cab. And she said something like, I specially, purposely stop on a yellow light to make timer running and to squeeze an extra 10 cents. And I was very angry, and I, without turning my head, I closed the partition. And that was a horrible moment in my life, because after I did it and I heard the boy was crying, I thought that I hurt his fingers. Luckily, nothing happened. The boy was just scared, but it was an awful moment. And since then, I told myself, never argue in a car. Never argue, doesn't matter how upset you are, you are insulted or not, doesn't matter what you feel, you never argue with a customer. If you can't drive this customer, just pull over and say, I can't drive you. But don't do such a thing, because I nearly crippled the child.
You know, I'd ask you if you were ever robbed while driving a cab, but I think what I ought to ask is, how many times were you robbed?
The second question is more proper. Every taxi driver in New York who drive a few years was robbed. I was robbed twice. One was easy experience. They took money from on a short pocket. I had some singles, and they. The guy took it, but the second time robbery was quite awful. It happened in East New York. You want me to tell the story?
Yeah.
It happened in East New York. It was 3 p.m. Sunday afternoon. Everybody dressed like going to the church. Streets were sunny days. Streets were full of people. And it was traffic. And I just had a family which I brought from Kennedy. I dropped them, Kennedy Airport, I dropped them off. And then I just didn't know the shortest way back to the airport. So I stepped out of my car, which was blocked in the traffic. And I came to the driver in the next car and asked how to get to Kennedy. And it happened he didn't know. So I continued and I stepped down to another car and ask, can you tell me how to go to Kennedy? And the person started explaining me, and then suddenly I saw three youngsters, not running, but walking fast in direction to my cab. Your intuition immediately tells you everything. If you just get into trouble, if you don't believe, don't trust to what your intuition says. My intuition said me, that's it. So I stopped listening to the person. I didn't walk. I ran to my cab. I got into the cab. I closed the door. But I lost a split of a second to lock the door. And they opened two doors from two sides. They put me down on the seat. I don't know this English word. They put their hands on my throat. They were kids, beginners. They don't know what they are doing. They were looking for money. It lasted like good 5 minutes. And they didn't find money. They just found singles, took the singles, and finally they ran away, leaving. But it all happened at 3 p.m. in a street where I was locked with cars behind me and after me. It were at least 200 people around. Nobody interfered. Nobody looked in my side. That was awful.
Aren't you afraid to get back into a cab again when something like that happens?
No. Well, you are afraid. You see, you are not afraid. You feel a few days, a few weeks. You feel that something happened, awful happened to you. But then it goes down and down. You feel less and less. Actually, I tried to work even after this happened, that day. But I couldn't work. I came home, But the next day, next morning, I was behind the wheel. It's no games. You have to work. You have to produce money. You have to pay awful bills. So you don't allow emotions to rule your life.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Vladimir Lobos, and he's a Soviet emigre who drove a taxi for around 8 years, now owns around 8 taxis, and he's written a memoir about these experiences called Taxi from Hell, Confessions of a Russian Hack. We'll take a short break, then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Vladimir Lobos, a Soviet emigre who drove a cab for many years in New York, now owns a small fleet of taxis, and has written a memoir called Taxi from Hell. In New York, the most prized fare is the fare to Kennedy Airport. Why is that such a great fare to get?
Well, in New York, this is the only one way today to travel somewhere, to be paid 30 or 35 or even more dollars, and you have a chance to get a fare back. So if you will be very lucky, you can make like $60-$70 in 2 hours, which is a lot of money for a driver. And that's you can't beat this job. This is the best job in New York.
Now, what does it take to get a fare to the airport?
Well, you see, if you're just driving honestly, picking up everybody, I would say you will get a Kennedy job once in 2 or 3 weeks. But some drivers hunt for these jobs. They make friendship with doormen. They pay the doormen, bribe them. And they get these jobs for, I believe today's rate is $3 a Kennedy job.
And that's $3 to the doorman?
Yes, yes. And that's how they get these jobs.
What does it take to actually make a profit when you're driving a cab for a company? How much money do you have to make in a day before you've made a profit for yourself?
Oh, I see, I see. You see, I am using such words like bribing a doorman and compares it with honest drivers, and I still can't blame New York taxi drivers for doing this, because New York taxi driver's situation is really awful. If he leases a cab, before he puts the first dollar in his pocket, he has to make $100. $80 cost lease of a 12-hour shift, and $20 cost gas. So to make his first buck, he has to make before $100, and this makes him to struggle for every buck. It's driving a cab in New York, it's everyday struggle. Struggle for life, for a dollar, for living, and this is very hard. So you can understand that that the driver not always smile to his customer. He's not always nice. He's annihilated. He doesn't know what is this. He's facing that he will finish his 12-hour shift, fill up the tank, and bring home $22. He doesn't feel well. Or let's say while he had lunch, a kind of punk broke his window and took his change from under the seat, and now he has to pay for the window $80, $90, $75, plus to the rent. And you can imagine how he feels.
You now own 8 taxis?
Well, I have 4 yellow cabs and 4 so-called black cars, radio cars.
Now that you have a small fleet of taxis, you don't drive yourself anymore, right? I mean, drive a taxi.
Occasionally I drive when driver gets sick, driver asks me to replace him. They're all my friends because we are working like 3, 4, 5, 6 years together. So it's no relationship like employer and employee. So if he asks me, of course, I'm happy to help him. That's all.
You use a pseudonym. Vladimir Lobos is not your birth name. Did you need a pseudonym for political reasons?
No, I just I use my pen name, and I use it for years. It's the name of my Russian nanny, whom I loved very much, who was everything in my Russian life for me. since I was a kid. And that's just nice. It's a very good feeling that I have my nanny's name, my Russian's nanny name, as a pen name. It's just warm, nice. I like it. That's all.
How was your cab ride on the way to the studio today?
Very good. I had a very good driver who spoke English. It was a black driver, very nice, polite. I just appreciate service he gave me.
Did you give him a good tip?
Oh, yeah. You know...
How much do you tip in a taxi?
Well, you see, it's not specific. It's waiters and taxi drivers are the best tippers because we know how important it is for a driver, so we are happy to... Well, on a trip like 275, I gave him $4.
Okay, that's nice.
Well, I appreciate what he is doing. I understand how hard he is fighting for his buck and... I was not the best customer. I just traveled a few blocks, so I just told thank you and give him the money.
So I have to ask you, have you ever seen the movie Taxi Driver?
Yes, of course. I saw it. I love it. It's a wonderful movie. What can I say? Very exciting, very American, highly professional. I love Roberto De Niro. What can I say? It's a very good picture.
Well, Vladimir Lobas, I wish you the best, and thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Vladimir Lobas is the author of Taxi from Hell, Confessions of a Russian Hack. It's published by Soho Press. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.